Diana Shepherd, and I'm the editorial director of Divorce Magazine. Joining me today is Madeline Ellsworth, an associate at the Chicago-based law firm of Boyle Feinberg, PC. Madeline practices all aspects of family law, including child custody, child support, distribution of assets, and post-dissolution matters. Today, we're going to be talking about preparing for divorce. So, Madeline, if someone has decided to get a divorce, what's the first step they should take?
Once someone has decided to get a divorce and you reach the decision that a divorce is right for you, one of the first steps that you should take is to reflect on the issues and the objectives that are important to you and determine what your goals will be as well as your desired outcome. This reflection and organization of your thoughts can help on researching an attorney that's best suited to reach your desired outcome. Next, I would focus on researching and meeting with and interviewing attorneys so that you find somebody who not only you feel comfortable with, but also that you're confident can obtain the primary objectives and goals that you have identified for yourself and your divorce case.
What are the first steps someone needs to take after being served with divorce papers?
After being served with divorce papers, you should contact your attorney to determine the course of action necessary in your case. Generally, there are very specific time frames in which legal action must be taken once you've been served with divorce papers. So it's important to be mindful of these time limits and promptly obtain or contact your current representation to ensure that you answer or take care of the pending suit or divorce process as soon as you become aware of its existence.
Is there a way to plan for the divorce process? What steps would you recommend for someone who is considering divorce to take before they break the news to their spouse?
To help prepare yourself for the divorce process, I would recommend meeting with an attorney to discuss your options as well as to develop a strategy that is right for you and your situation. Although each case is different, it's often helpful to have a game plan prior to initiating the divorce process. This can help to manage your expectations as well as prioritize your objectives.
What paperwork or documents should someone bring when they meet with their lawyer for the first time?
When meeting with your lawyer for the first time, it is often helpful to bring financial documents in order to begin itemizing your assets and developing your divorce strategy. Such documents may include tax returns, financial statements, as well as an inventory of your marital and non-marital property.
You mentioned things like tax returns. Do you just need to see 1 year of tax returns, or should they bring multiple years? And do they need to bring their spouses as well as their own?
We often suggest bringing at least 2 years of tax returns, as well as all accompanying schedules and supporting documentation. As in terms of bringing spouses' information, I would encourage clients to bring anything that is a joint asset and any information that you may have on accounts or other assets that are held in both your name as well as your spouse's name. The more information that you can provide your attorney from the outset of your divorce, the better your attorney will be able to come up with a strategy and plan that's right for you, especially when it comes to preserving and protecting your right to marital assets.
If a divorcing couple has children, what's the best way to make sure they aren't affected by the divorce, or at least to minimize the negative effects on the children?
The court and attorneys will do everything in their power to keep children out of the crossfires of divorcing parents. Divorce is hard, not only on the parties, but also on the children and any other family or friends that are caught in between. Parties will be encouraged not to make disparaging remarks about the other. And courts and attorneys will suggest that the parties try not to involve children in matters related to the divorce. For example, courts will often tell parties not to treat children as a messenger, passing information back and forth between the parties, or to discuss matters related to divorce, such as finances, any issues such as infidelity or custodial arrangements, anything that's related to the divorce should be dealt with between the parties and the adults, and really try to keep the children out of the middle.
Do you have any tips on reducing the cost of a divorce?
To help minimize divorce-related costs, I believe it's helpful to remain organized and to choose your battles wisely. Divorce can be emotionally and financially draining. And throughout the divorce process, it's easy to get caught up in minute details or situations that arise that take your eye off of the larger picture and the goal for the larger outcome of your divorce. Parties should also consider mediation or negotiation as a way to keep costs low, as resolving disputes amicably is very often cheaper than frequent court appearances required by your attorney.
Madeline, in your experience, can divorce ever be a civilized, amicable experience? If so, what can make it turn ugly?
Of course, divorces can be civilized and amicable. Often, parties reach a point in their relationship when they realize that divorce is the best situation for both themselves and perhaps their children. In my experiences, divorces turn ugly when parties employ vengeful or petty tactics. It's important to keep focused on the big picture and obtaining your primary objectives.
What happens if someone's spouse won't agree to get a divorce? Is it still possible to go ahead and get a divorce anyway?
Yes, it is. Courts will not force parties to remain married if one party files for a divorce. After one party initiates a divorce proceeding, the other party has the opportunity to answer the petition and present their case. If that party fails to appear or answer the pleadings, then the court may find that party in default, and the court will often proceed with the divorce anyway and rule on any of the issues that it has jurisdiction over.
Let's talk a bit about going to court. Do you have any advice on how someone can prepare for their day in court?
I would suggest talking to your attorney about what to expect about the court appearance and the possible outcomes of the court appearance. If you will be testifying, ask your attorney to prepare the questions and go over the questions and responses with you in advance of the court appearance. Preparation and understanding the possible outcomes will help ease your mind about appearing in court and testifying before others.
How can a divorcing couple prepare their children for the impending divorce?
Breaking the news of divorce to children can be very difficult, and the proper delivery depends on the specific circumstances of each case and often each child. In some cases, parties are able to agree on how it is that they should break the news of their divorce to their children. Sometimes this is done with the parties discussing the divorce process and the possible consequences of the divorce process with their children together. In other cases, it may be helpful to involve a mental health professional to help parents break the news of divorce to their children and address the emotional effects that the divorce process can have on the family.
Is it possible to make one spouse leave the matrimonial home before the divorce is finalized?
Yes. Parties can certainly agree for one person to remain in the marital home throughout the divorce process and for the other to obtain an alternative residence. Absent an agreement of the parties, it is possible under certain limited circumstances for the court to remove one spouse from the home while the divorce is proceeding. However, the burden of proving these circumstances can be very difficult, so you should talk to your attorney about whether this is a possibility in your specific case.
We've all heard stories about someone moving out of the marital home and then losing all of their rights to stay in it or to get it after a divorce or anything like that. Is anything true about these stories? Can it be a bad idea to move out of the house voluntarily while a divorce is pending?
Whether or not it's a bad idea depends on the specific circumstances of each case. However, removing yourself from the home or finding an alternative residence does not forego your right and entitlement to the equity or your rights in the home. The division of property will be dealt with by the court at trial or during your settlement negotiations, and who has resided in the home throughout the divorce process should have no bearing necessarily on who is awarded the home at the culmination of the divorce.
Are there ever circumstances in which a divorcing couple might stay in the same house while the divorce is pending?
Yes. While this situation really depends on the specifics of your circumstance, there are certainly times when divorcing couples are amicable enough that they're able to share the marital residence throughout the divorce process. Parties sometimes like to take this approach when there are children involved and they wish to not disrupt their children's schedules, habits, and routines. If this is something that can be done in a healthy manner so that all parties involved feel safe and comfortable living under the same roof, then it's an approach that can be discussed and perhaps taken with your attorney. However, if there is an unhealthy situation with any verbal, physical abuse, or somebody doesn't feel safe or comfortable in the home, then it's probably not a situation that you want to put yourself in.
If someone's spouse left them years ago and they have no idea where their ex is, or even if they're even still alive, can they still get a divorce if they can't find their ex?
Yes, it's possible to obtain a divorce even after lengthy periods of separation or unknown whereabouts of your spouse. The notice and service requirements, however, in these circumstances are very specific. It is a large priority of the court to ensure that the absent spouse is given adequate notice of the divorce proceedings. The court will do all that is required under law to make sure that the divorcing, missing, absent spouse has an opportunity to come to court and defend themselves in the proceedings. Therefore, it is imperative that you work with an attorney to make sure that all of these notice and service requirements are satisfied so that you can obtain the divorce.
My guest today has been family lawyer Madeline Ellsworth from the Chicago-based law firm of Boyle Feinberg PC, where she assists the partners and senior associates in handling dissolution and parentage matters, allocation of parental responsibilities and removal disputes, orders of protection, maintenance and support, contested evidentiary hearings, the disposition of marital and non-marital assets, post-dissolution matters, and prenuptial agreements. For more information about how Madeline and her firm can help you to prepare for the divorce process, go to www.boylefeinberglaw.com.